Köln Campus.
Das waren De Wolf aus den Niederlanden live hier bei Köln Campus Verstärker. Nicht ganz so live, weil sie waren eigentlich heute Nachmittag da.
Genau, und da haben sie auch nicht nur Musik gemacht, sondern sie haben uns auch noch Frage und Antwort gestanden. Und was dabei herausgekommen ist, das hört ihr jetzt.
Wir beginnen mit einem zünftigen Hallo.
Hallo.
Hi.
Hallo.
First of all, you're playing psychedelic rock and blues rock. Can you tell me briefly why you have especially chosen that kind of music genre?
The music did we didn't choose the music chose us.
Yeah.
So can you explain the process, how it did come to you?
It's something that, you know, we've been playing for 9 years now, almost 9 years, and you listen to different kinds of music throughout those years, and I think the music that you play is a kind of a natural extension of the inspiration you get from listening to different kinds of music. So it's something that just came out of
us. It just grew that way. We started as a real psychedelic Pink Floyd kind of band, and it just grew more into I don't know, the southern rock and the rock and roll, and it was a natural process. So it wasn't like that we chose to play that kind of music.
You said Pink Floyd. Do you think that the psychedelic rock has some kind of vanished through the years, or is it still very present?
It's still pretty present. There are a lot of bands that play this psychedelic kind of music. It just always existed, you know. It was like invented in the 60s, but then there were always these bands coming up and playing psychedelic music. Even in the 90s, there was like Kula Shaker and that kind of bands that played real psychedelic music.
Yeah, we have some really good, really psychedelic bands in Holland, like Pau and Jaco Gardner. They're really like Pink Floyd psychedelic kind of stuff, and yeah, it's cool that it's still there.
And did you experience any development from the 60s up to now? How did psychedelic rock develop over the years? Do you think there's a development going on?
I don't know. I'm not necessarily only interested in psychedelic rock, and that's, I think, what makes us different. We don't try to imitate Pink Floyd or The Doors or any of those bands, really. They were just a very big influence, and nowadays we listen to a lot of different music. We listen to old rock and roll music, and also some new stuff, and we're constantly discovering like new music or new old music. And so how did it develop? I don't know. There's always bands that really imitate what happened in the 60s, which is fine, you know, because it's not the 60s anymore, so you don't have a lot of those bands. So it's, for me, it's I like to go to a show and see something that is an exact imitation of the 60s, and I can enjoy it, but it's not what we want to do. It's not what I like to do, because that already happened. And what we're doing is we get together like in a rehearsal room and we just start playing. And what comes out of that is just what Robin said, like a natural extension of what of our influences and our own personal views on music, and how the psychedelic music evolved. I mean, somewhere in the 70s, psychedelic music turned into electronic music, I think. And I think that indirectly, maybe even some modern dance music eventually came out of what started as psychedelic music. Also, at some point, you got like crowd rock, and that's pretty electronic. And if that developed into a music with beats and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, talking about evolution, you've already brought out your fifth album, I think.
Sixth.
Yeah. Okay, the first wasn't only a short EP.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah, so we released 7 records, like 1 live album and 1 EP. So 5 full length, 1 EP and 1 live album.
How did you start as a band? I have no idea about the music scene in the Netherlands.
When we started 9 years ago, there weren't a lot of rock bands, you know, like rock bands really just plug and play and So we were, we were kind of alone in the Dutch music scene, and we started playing more and more, and eventually there were more bands like us, you know, like rock bands, psychedelic rock bands, stoner bands. Then those bands came up, and
alternative rock,
yeah,
because there wasn't really a lot of that when we started, and maybe that's one of the reasons why we had the urge to just play together, you know, three guys, guitar, Hammond organ, drums, and just play cool stuff. Because I don't know, when we started, most of the bands in Holland were really, you had like very big, super popular, super poppy music, or there were rock bands that were really unknown and small. And those two never kind of merged. And yeah.
Right now you have a lot of bands like De Staat in Holland. They are pretty big, and they're also pretty big in the other countries. And the alternative rock music is growing bigger and bigger in Holland. Mm. So that's a good thing.
And you played a few songs for us. And my question is... is it hard for you to rearrange these songs for a small acoustic set, or is it just very easy for you?
Well, we usually play our songs on our very cool and awesome and loud sounding instruments that we bring everywhere. You know, I've got this big Hammond organ with a huge ass Leslie speaker, and Paolo's got, you know, it's loud, and we like it that way. And in order to play those songs in a very small and intimate setting, on a low volume, that's kind of tricky. So we rehearsed in the van, and
but in fact we didn't really rehearse that much. Like,
no, that's
we
true.
Rehearsed the voices, but the instrument thing is coming pretty natural, I think. So that we didn't rehearse that much.
What do you prefer? Do you think you would prefer the Wolf acoustic or live, like in a venue?
I think everything got its advantages and its disadvantages.
Yeah, that's true. You should come tonight and check out for yourself. I think you'll like the loud version better.
I prefer the loud version.
Awesome.
But just I would like to have a visuals behind you. Unfortunately, we couldn't watch your videos in Germany because of the nice
the gamma, yeah.
But it looked very psychedelic and nice.
Mm.
So that behind you.
You talked about a Leslie speaker and Hammond organ. What does it mean to you to have that special sound in your music? Hammond organ, or especially the vintage or retro sound, how it's called in nowadays.
Well, for me, a Hammond organ is like when you play it and there comes a sound out of the instrument. It's like this connection you have. For example, there are a lot of Hammond organ players that bring their keyboard. You know, it's very handy. It's lightweight, and I've got also one. Yeah, right here. I use it for small sessions, but it's not. You don't have that connection with your instrument that I would have with a real Hammond organ. You know, it's big. It's growly. It sounds way better. And
you mean the organic feel of it?
Yeah, and also like the bond you get with the instrument when you bring it to every show, you know, load it in the van, get it out. When it breaks down, you have to open it up, find which wire is broken, and then fix it.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah. No, you get a special bond, but also the sound is just way better than like the plastic keyboard lightweight stuff. So for me, that's the...
And yeah. My question is, do you repair it yourself? Or do you have any engineer?
A lot of the times I repair it myself because there's not much wrong with it. But sometimes I have to bring it to this Dutch Hammond doctor. He's a wizard. He can fix everything. Yeah.
It's great to have such people around.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Yeah, it's a craftsmanship to fully understand the Hammond organ or fully understand a drum set or a guitar. I really like that. when people really know everything about something.
Do you fully know your instruments? Like, have you learned it from right from being a kid, and then you've just taken maybe the guitar and the drums and played it from being a kid?
Yeah. We all started when we were very young, and I think we all know our instruments really. Really deeply.
I had to repair a guitar this morning, but I couldn't do it. So I suck at that. But yeah.
But you can play.
I've played it since I was 9, and Luca played drums since he was 8 years old. So that's way more than half of our lives.
And I also think it's really interesting to take the drum apart, like see every bit. And so I also refurbished some old drum sets because I really like to have all the small parts, you know, and clean them and see what it does.
We're real nerds.
Yeah.
That's what you want to know.
Let's look into the future. You're going to play in Germany, Spain, France and the Netherlands, of course. But you're not only going to play at clubs, but also at festivals. Mm. Is that... again, a very special feeling to you playing at festivals like the, what is it called, Woodstock Forever Festival?
Yeah.
Is that something deeper than in playing in clubs?
Well, it's really cool to play a festival because there's more people than would come to our club shows. I mean, if we play in Germany, a couple of hundred people will come. If you play at a festival, a couple of thousand people will see your music. That's really cool. And there's this nice energy because people are... you know, have been drinking all day, and it's just a very special kind of energy. Mm. But the cool thing about playing in a club is that you can, you know, we can play for 2.5 hours. You cannot do that on a festival. A festival is very strict. It's like you have to play 45 minutes, and you can't play 1 minute longer. It's 45 minutes strict. And for our music, I think both has its advantages.
Yeah. I also like to play the clubs in the winter and then play the festivals in the summer. It's a really nice
balance.
Yeah.
And how is the choice of your songs festivals juxtaposed to clubs? Does it differ when you create your set lists?
The fun thing about club shows is and venues, you have your own show, you know, people come just for you. So you can play like 1.5 hour, 2 hours, 2.5 if you want to. But at festivals, usually it's like 1 hour max. So you have to really choose your songs, what you're going to play. And then again, there's also a difference if you're playing at this really bluesy kind of festival, people really like your solo stuff when you're playing solo. So you would choose more likely to play those songs than the other songs. But you know, when you're at a different kind of festival,
festivals it's more important to have like your I don't know, 8 best songs, your very best songs that will convince people. And in a club it's more like, oh, we'll try this out tonight, and we'll try, which is really cool. But at a festival it's probably more powerful, it's more focused because you have less time, more energy. www.kölncampus.com